Ladies and gentlemen from the flight deck, welcome to AirVenture In Flight. I'm your captain, Jaymon G. Today's flight will take us around AirVenture from 11 a.m. until the start of AirVenture Showcase. If you look outside your left or right window, you might see Oshkosh. If not, don't worry, I can. And that's all that really matters, right? So sit back, relax, and enjoy AirVenture In Flight on EAA Radio.
Good morning. It's 11 o'clock at AirVenture Oshkosh. I'm Jaymon G. You're listening to EAA Radio AM 1210 100.7 FM and on the web at www.airventure.org. And I'm joined in studio by Magneto Mel.
How you doing?
Good. How are you this morning?
Not too bad. Off the porch.
Off the porch and out of the sun and into the air conditioning. And we are joined in studio by the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, Mark Rosenker. Good morning, Mark. What types of activities do you focus on when you're here at Oshkosh? It's certainly probably not actual accident investigation, but more representing the agency, correct?
Well, the primary objective, of course, is to always be representing the agency. But unfortunately, there will be an occasion where we'll have to put on our official NTSB investigating hats, and we will do that. Unfortunately, there's something right out there that just occurred about 5 minutes ago that we'll be sending one of our folks out to take a look at.
And I got to speak yesterday with one of your investigators, and Jill, she has a very interesting job. We got to chat about some of the specifics as to what it was that she did in her job, and she works in a region. Each of the regions then reports to you, correct?
Reports to a regional director, and then, of course, the regional directors have a reporting line up to the director of regional operations, then goes to the aviation safety director, and then up to the board and me. So I'm the guy where the buck stops, but the guys who really do the work are the tremendous men and women that we have out in the field. And we've got 396 people that work for the board full time, and about half of those are involved in aviation safety, and about 45, 50 of them are in the regions, and they're always working and doing tremendous work and trying to find out what happens to general aviation accidents, and then, of course, writing the reports, doing the analysis, and then making recommendations to prevent those kinds of accidents from happening again. So we're very fortunate, the quality of people we have. They're the best of the best, in my judgment.
Now, you just mentioned that there was an accident just about 5 minutes ago, and your primary purpose here is, as you hope, to represent and not have to actually do anything. But now that you do, how does that work jurisdiction-wise? Because you're regional in Dulles and regional in Denver, is that right? So you guys happen to be right here on the field. Are you going to go out and take care of that, or does it need to go through the...
Well, we have a regional person who's primarily here to take a look at accidents. That's what they will be doing. Now, if we get bogged down, and that's, God forbid, if we have more than the one or two people that are looking at these accidents could handle, each one of these people are qualified accident investigators. And just because they're working out of Denver or working out of Dulles, that doesn't mean they don't go anywhere. Actually, many of them will go outside of the region on occasion when we have those needs.
And what is involved with an accident investigation? I know, of course, you've got your first responders. I've heard about the GO team. I don't know if that's NTSB or if that's with
No, that's the NTSB GO team is probably the best known of all of the GO teams.
But then there's also quite a bit of investigating that goes on between that preliminary report and that final report. So what happens in an investigation beyond just the accident site?
Well, let's talk about the GO team. The GO team would be involved in a large accident. A substantial accident. That would be something like a commercial type of an aircraft, one that might be of high visibility. They would have as many as maybe a dozen or 14 people going out on the GO team, and that would involve human factors, operations, power plant, weather, structures, a whole host of disciplines would go out to that large accident scene. Our regional people primarily work single They're out there doing it all. They're the structures people. They're the power plant people. They're the ops people. They're the weather people. They are everybody at one place. But normally they will take a look at smaller accidents. They'll take a look at, say, a 182 or a Cirrus or any of the civil aviation, the small general aviation accidents that we might see. And we take a look. We're responsible by law at providing the determination of probable cause of every single aviation accident that occurs in the United States, with the exception of military accidents.
You know, what makes an accident a large accident? I mean, what constitutes a more significant? Is it a certain level of injury? Is it a certain level of damage?
Normally, when we talk about a major accident, it would be a 121 or a 135 type of an accident, not a Part 91.
Right.
That's not to say we wouldn't send a large team out, depending upon the nature. I mean, there was a large team that went out when John Kennedy's airplane went into the water. There was significant media interest. When that happens, we send media people out to be able to basically take care of the media aspects and leave the investigations to our professional investigators. Otherwise, they also are our media spokesmen at the same time they're doing an investigation. But normally when we're talking about an investigation of a small aircraft, it's relatively light in the media interest, and they're able to easily handle it, and they do it extremely well. These people are about as professional as you can possibly find them in all of the areas that they deal in all of the disciplines that they must understand, including media relations. They're very good at it.
Tell us about a day in the life of the chairman of the NTSB.
Well, the chairman gets into the office about 6:45 every morning. Chairman gets a cup of coffee, a very large cup of coffee. And at that point, he begins a good deal of reading and preparing for the day. There are a number of things that the chairman does that our other members don't necessarily have to do. I have to not only make the decisions of petitions for reconsideration along with my colleagues, or in the notations, and decide probable cause and recommendations, but the chairman has the responsibility. He's the chief executive officer. He runs the day-to-day operations of the agency, where the other four members help me do that, but it is my responsibility as the chairman to actually carry out the chief executive functions. So I do a lot of signing of documents. I do a lot of signing of letters. I talk to my senior staff. I deal with budgets. Everybody, unfortunately, has to deal with budgets in the federal government.
Yes.
But budgets for us is very, very big. And the reality is the vast majority of my budget deals with salaries. And so the more money I can get, the more investigators I can hire. And I'm hoping Congress is going to be generous with me this year.
Well, now, you mentioned the petitions for reconsideration. I don't know if a lot of people know exactly how that works. So what you're saying is once a report is out, it can be contested?
It certainly can. If you don't agree with...
Who has that power to do that? Anybody?
Anybody who believes they can bring in new information. You just can't say, I disagree with the argument. I disagree with the decision. You have to be able to present new information that would impact and have the ability to make a potential change, rather than just say, well, I still disagree with the findings of the board. That won't work.
Right.
That won't work.
And how do you parse out, when you mentioned larger media items, the influence of media opinion maybe on your investigators sometimes? Like, for example, the JFK. There was a lot of opinion about what went wrong. Everybody's an expert. As soon as something happens, everybody becomes an expert in
well,
that,
the
happened.
Difference is that we are experts.
Right.
The people, as I said earlier, we've been doing this for 40 years. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. We had a wonderful celebration. One of the things that we did is I got to throw out the first pitch of the Washington Nationals baseball game. And I don't know if you were there, Jill, but I did a nice job, they tell me, and threw a strike right from the mound. But I still better keep my day job, I think. It wasn't that good. But
I'm not going to start singing on the side either.
No, I'm not going to do that. But the professionalism that's demonstrated through the board is noted. I mean, we are the premier accident investigation agency throughout the world. When controversial accidents occur around the world, many times we've been asked to come in and assist and offer our technical expertise.
How does that work if politically it's a touchy area.
Politically isn't an issue for us. The reality of life is our business is to be raising the bar of safety. And safety goes well beyond politics, whether it's international politics or whether it's domestic politics. And the reality of life is the quality of investigations that we do are well known, they're well thought of, they are, there are what we call peer examination, because everything we do is in the sunshine. The board has a sunshine agency, which means we don't sit around and decide the probable causes in a back room somewhere and then announce them. When we decide these and they're fully discussed, we're doing the Comair accident, matter of fact, Thursday. Mm. Thursday morning will be the sunshine meeting for the Comair accident that occurred last year. Matter of fact, we're doing this in 11 months to put out the probable cause and the recommendations for preventing this kind of accident from happening again. During this 11 months that we had this investigation, we also put out a number of what we might call urgent recommendations. And those occurred as soon as we find something. As soon as we believe there is something glaring out there that tells us that if we don't get it out now, we run a risk of continuing the possibility of having an accident, we will then announce it right away, even though the determination of probable cause has not been made yet. The accident continues to be investigated. And that's the same way, even in the smaller accident investigations that we have with our regional offices. When they find something that they believe is of a safety danger, they will go to headquarters with it and make sure that we're in an ability to make a recommendation to prevent that type of operation or manufacturing process from occurring.
Yeah, and I noticed the terminology you use, it's when you'd ask about politics, it's probable cause. It's not a judge or jury decision, and it's a recommendation. You don't actually make policy. You make recommendations
yes.
to policy boards. So
you're exactly right, Mel, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because one of the beauties of the board is we don't have to take a look at cost-benefit analysis to make our recommendations. The regulatory agencies are required to do that by federal law. So we can be as creative and innovative as you possibly can with the pure aspect of saying this is the safest way to do something. Now, in our recommendations, we're not prescriptive either. We don't basically tell you how to do something. What we're looking for is a result. And if you can come up with a better way of doing it, we will then say closed, alternate, acceptable.
Right.
We don't have to do, we don't tell you exactly how to come up with the result that we're looking for.
The relationship between the FAA and the NTSB, it's always been kind of a strange dance, so to speak.
Well, that's an interesting characterization. although I would love to dance with the administrator, she's a lovely woman. She also, I might tell you, was the chairman of the NTSB before she was appointed by the president to be the FAA administrator. She did a great job at the board. Everyone was sorry to lose her to the FAA. But I will also tell you, she's doing a great job at the FAA as well. That's a tough job. It is a very, very difficult job to do, and I think she's doing it as well as any administrator has done that. But the beauty of having Marion Blakey over there is she understands when the NTSB is saying something, because, in fact, she too has said things when she was sitting in this chair about the FAA, and now she has an opportunity to actually make those changes that she was making recommendations about.
And they have different roles. The organizations have different roles in the...
That's right. They're regulatory. They actually have the authority to do enforcement of action. They have the authority to license and certify. We don't. What we have the authority to do is investigate, do the determination of probable cause, and then make recommendations. We are the recommendators in charge, if you will. That's what our job
is. Reports and analyses.
Reports and analyses. But we also have another interesting aspect of what we do. I don't know how many people know that we also are the appeals court. Both for the FAA, if a pilot loses a license, if an AMP person loses his license or her license, if the Coast Guard pulls your license as a ship's captain or a ship's engineer or any paper that they have, you can appeal to the NTSB to get a resolution. And many times, if the evidence shows that it's appropriate, we will override and overrule the FAA and the Coast Guard. And if you don't like what our administrative judges tell you, in that process. And you start with the administrative law judge to make your appeal. Then you come to the five members of the board, and we're the equivalent of an appeals court at the federal level. And then finally, if you don't like what the five members of the board say, and it's very rare that it can, but it can, there is an appeals process to that, then you will go to a federal appeals court. That's it. You can't take your case to the Supreme Court. That appeals court is the Supreme Court. We're the equivalent of an appeals court, and the first federal court is our administrative law judges. That's
sounds
how
like
it works.
You got a lot of chances to...
You get a lot of bites at the apple.
Chairman Rosenkranz, thank you very much for joining us at AirVenture today.
It was my honor, and I'm looking forward to seeing the aircraft and getting a chance to talk to the general aviation pilots that are out there. This is an exciting era for aviation, and we're real proud to be a part of it and helping to make it a safe business even safer.
And it's an exciting week here at AirVenture. We're glad to have you. Thank you all for joining us in studio today. On EA Radio, and enjoy your adventure. You're here to have a good time, right?
We're here to learn and communicate as well.